Hi, I'm Than Bennett. Thank you for listening to The Equipped. Faith Radio podcasts are only possible because of your support. Thank you for giving and for sharing with a friend. It is almost tax day in America. What that means for you, also a solar eclipse, and Japan's prime minister visits the United States. Hello, everyone, and welcome into The Equipped. Those are the leading headline stories for the week, this week on The Equipped. Also, when we close our time together, we are going to take a look at milk and honey and also coffee. How does coffee belong in the conversation with milk and honey? That will make up the beautiful as we close our time together in just a moment. And we will start, as we always do, by standing on truth. We will do that in just a moment. But if you are new to the Equipped community, I want to welcome you into the broadcast. I want to invite you to go to theequippednewsletter.com to sign up for the newsletter that forms the foundation of our conversation each week. You will also find extensive links and resources and also visuals to help you interact with the conversation today. But very simply put, we are a gathering of Jesus followers that come together each week around this broadcast and the newsletter to talk about and really consider how we can interact with the world around us and with these headline stories in a way that is redemptive, in a way that brings the hands and the feet and the heart and the character of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into the midst of them. And so we want you to join us. You can go to theequippednewsletter.com. We have this conversation in an interactive way. We don't want to be consumers of news. We want to be active participants in the move of God that is happening all across our country and all across our world. We want to represent the true and the beautiful in the midst of those stories. Speaking of the true, this week we are going to talk about a question that should form how we can represent the true and how we can represent the redemption of Jesus Christ in the world around us. That question is, was it different when? I'll say it again. Was it different when? That is coming up right now on The True. I was having a conversation with someone I love recently, and I was, quite honestly, I was sharing some frustration over the fact that I was feeling some stress, particularly about provision and about material things. And I said something to this person along the lines of, God has been so faithful to us, but it's also been a really stretching season, and that stretching is sometimes stressing me out. And I think probably a lot of you could relate to that. And it seemed like a very reasonable statement for me to make at the time. I was acknowledging God's faithfulness, but also just confessing to some stress about material things and about the pursuit of provision in our family's life. It seemed reasonable, but I was so grateful for the loving and refining and gentle response that followed. This person that I was speaking to, and someone that I love very much, he listened, he thought for a moment, and then he asked me this question, and this question forms the foundation for the true this week here on The Equipped. He asked me, was it different when circumstances were different? In other words, he was asking me if I stressed less when I was stretched less. When I had had seasons and periods of greater physical comfort and greater material security, was I at more peace? And of course, the reason he was asking the question was because he was trying to identify the true source of my discomfort. What was it really, circumstances that were causing this stress? Was my peace really rooted in something as flimsy and as fleeting as the temporal security in my life? Or was it something totally different? And was it different when something was so insignificant was different in my life? Was it really different when circumstances were different. And so I thought about it for a moment, had a moment of honest contemplation. I didn't immediately know the answer, but after thinking about it for a moment, I had to concede that it really had not been all that different when circumstances were more comfortable. Even when the path before me had been firm and certain and relatively comfortable, I had still been prone to stress over things that I knew would soon be passing away. And after reflecting on that conversation, I was drawn back to John chapter 14 when we hear Jesus say things like, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." He also said, "Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give you." Those were all words that Jesus spoke to his disciples as he was trying to instruct them how they should carry themselves once he was no longer with them in physical form. And here at The Equip, we have considered the final words of Jesus on quite a frequent occasion lately. They are so instructive to how Jesus wanted us to live once he ascended back to heaven and left his Holy Spirit here with us. They tell us so much about how he wants us to posture ourselves. And from these statements about peace, about his peace being left with us and giving his peace to us and not living with troubled hearts, it is abundantly clear, and it's clear because Jesus is emphasizing these points over and over and over again, but it's clear that he does not want us to live anxiously. Jesus was emphatic that we should not be troubled, that our hearts should be peaceful, that we should live at peace because he was giving and leaving his peace with us. I was seeking a peace in things that were incapable of providing me peace. And even worse, I was doing that at the expense of simply accepting a peace that Jesus had given to me, that he had left to me. My heart doesn't need to be troubled, but that way that I have to free myself of the trouble has nothing to do with the circumstances around me. It has everything to do with the work that was already accomplished for me on the cross. And it has everything to do with accepting the peace that is freely given and offered to me by the one who completed that work. And so today, as we consider the true, I want to ask you a question. Are you at peace? Or are you, like me, prone to stress? And if you're prone to stress but inclined to believe that it is because of the very real and very stressful circumstances in your life, I believe those are there, by the way. All of us have very real circumstances, very stressful circumstances that are real and tangible and present in our life. But I want to ask you the question that was so gently asked of me. Was it different when circumstances were different? Have you known a time when you walked in this kind of peace that you desire? And if you have, I'm so glad that you have, but I want to ask you, was it because every circumstance was peaceable? Because I have yet to meet the person for which that is true. Circumstances on this earth are just never altogether smooth. If you have walked in a time of that kind of peace, I have to believe it is because your peace was rooted in the gift that Jesus gave and left to you. And if you have not known a time of walking in that peace, then I want to invite you to do what I am currently doing, which is recalibrating where your peace is found. Your circumstances and mine on this earth, they're never going to be fully peaceable. But even so, your heart and mind can be untroubled. Your mind can be at peace. Your spirit and even your soul can know a peaceful rest, even in the midst of those unpeaceable circumstances. How? Because that is a peace that is rooted not in circumstance, but in the one who holds all things. It's a peace that is rooted in the one who took great pains to give and to leave that peace with you. Let's live in that peace this week. peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Such a beautiful reminder from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a great one to keep front and center as we turn our attention to our first headline story of the day. It is tax day in America, or at least very close to it. Every year, as you probably know, April 15th, or the first business day that follows it, every taxpayer in America that doesn't either have an exemption or has filed for an extension has to file their taxes. So for most of us, that's Form 1040, probably a number of forms behind that. Maybe you use an online software, TurboTax, H&R Block, something of the nature. But either way, you are responsible for telling the government all of your income, your liabilities, your deductions, your credits, and ultimately settling your account with the Internal Revenue Service. Now, some taxpayers file as early as January if they have all the information that is ready, but nearly one in three filings in the United States happens in the last 3 weeks leading up to this deadline. So a very busy season for taxpayers as well as the Internal Revenue Service. And as we think about how we as Jesus followers should engage with this story, I'm kind of struck by the fact that we're talking about money again. We talk about money a lot on this broadcast, quite honestly, because Jesus talked a lot about money when he walked amongst us. And one of the most frequent lessons and topics of Scripture has to do with how we use our earthly resources. I would dare say that a central part of living a gospel-centric life is learning how to manage our resources and how to properly steward the money, quite specifically, and just more broadly, the possessions that God has afforded to us. And I think this is true because God loves us, He is jealous for us, and He wants to be first in our heart and in our life. And one of the things that most frequently robs Him of that place in our life is money and material possessions. It is just so easy for you and for me to allow that desire for material gain to outpace our desire for treasure in heaven. That's what Matthew 6 calls it, laying up treasure in heaven. And you know this from the True this week, but I stand at the front of the line of the guilty on this one. I was actually having another conversation with a trusted friend recently, and I said, you know, I spend so much time chasing material gain. And then I thought about it for just a split second, and I realized that that really wasn't even saying it strongly enough. And I recalibrated the statement just slightly, and I said, I waste so much time chasing material gain. And look, I get the reality of this. You've got bills to pay and mouths to feed and a family to care for. I've got all of those things too. I'm so grateful for that. And a very real part of that is providing for them. But I'm very grateful for parents who instilled in my siblings and me, even though maybe I'm not grasping it in every moment of my life. I do know this at a very fundamental level. The tenets of 2 Corinthians 3:10, which I'll use my mom's paraphrase to this. She would always remind her kids, she would say, a man does not work, a man does not eat. Now, my mom would have never neglected to feed us. She would have always made sure that we were fed. But it was also important to her and to my father as well that their children understood that work is required for even the necessities of life. And I think as with so many of these things, where there appears to be a juxtaposition or a contradiction, it really comes back to a heart condition. And I think as you file your taxes this year, or maybe you're an overachiever and you're long since done. I just got mine done, so I put myself in that final 3 weeks camp. But as you do that, maybe ask yourself a few questions. Number one, for what does your heart yearn most? Is it provision? Is it comfort? Or is it a treasure much greater? Is it one that is laid up in a place where it cannot be stolen or destroyed? As you file your 1040 form, that the income that you list and the deductions that you list and the credits that you list, all of those things represent things of this world that are here and gone in the blink of an eye. But they also together make up a picture of your daily life that shows where your treasure is and how maybe it can be recalibrated more toward a life that is invested in our eternal home. So as you file your taxes, just ask yourself that simple question: where is my treasure laid up? Do moth and rust corrupt? Can thieves break in and steal? Or is my family investing in a way where the thief cannot destroy and where one day the benefits from those investments will be reaped forever and will ultimately glorify my Father in heaven? Hi, Faith Radio family. Than Bennett here with a special invitation for you. So much in our world today is screaming for us to be consumed by fear and division and brokenness, but the promise of the gospel means that our foundation is secure. We should live not from a place of fear, but instead our lives should be marked with power and with love and with sound minds. And so every week I'm sending out the Equipped newsletter. Every issue opens with truth from God's word. From that vantage point of truth, we look at a handful of current events in our world. We do it not to simply consume information, but we do it looking for opportunities for the gospel of Jesus Christ to inject love and healing and redemption into those who need it. We close every issue with a simple reminder of something that is beautiful in our world. I want to invite you to join our community. You can sign up at theequippednewsletter.com. That'll trigger an email back to you. Just click to confirm. Again, it's theequippednewsletter.com. I'll see you there. From Tax Day in America to a solar eclipse, as you probably know and maybe had a chance to observe, millions of North Americans were treated to a solar phenomenon known as an eclipse this week. There was the view of the sun was fully eclipsed by the moon for those that were within what is called a path of totality that stretched from western Mexico all the way through the heart of the United States and reaching eastern Canada. And millions of people actually traveled to that path of totality to get a glimpse of this rare occurrence. It lasted less than 4 minutes, even in the heart of the path. But it will not occur again in this sort of fashion in the United States from coast to coast until the year 2045. There will be some smaller paths in the Northwest and also another one in Alaska sooner than that. Other portions of the world will see a total eclipse before then, but it will not happen in this fashion until the year 2045. And so millions of people looked to the skies through protective glasses, of course, to observe this. We did this in the backyard of our house as well. Our kids and I shared one pair of glasses and went back and forth, watched the eclipse. It was pretty magnificent, but it brought to my mind Psalm 19, 1 through 6. And I really want you to read that passage this week. You can either look it up, Psalm 19, 1 through 6, or I have linked to those six verses in the Equipped newsletter at theequippednewsletter.com. But it really, I think what we saw this week in the eclipse is described in this passage. The passage talks about how the heavens declare the glory of God. And listen to this. It says, "The heavens speak daily, but they do it without words or sound. They speak daily knowledge of the living God into the whole earth." And it also says that the heavens provide a canvas for the sun, and the sun was created to produce life and warmth to all of God's created on earth. You know, I think for those of us that follow Jesus, the Equipped this week was probably very naturally viewed as singing glory and praising the name of our Creator. It was very easy to make that connection. But I think there were many who were not able to connect the spectacle that they saw with its source. But I think it's amazing that that spectacle still had the power of attraction that it did. And I think the power of the majesty of God is so intense, it's so transcendent, that even when a display like this that lasts more than 4 minutes and just reflects a very tiny portion of the power of the Creator, it still commands the attention of millions. And it commands the attention of millions who are in many cases either ignorant or agnostic or maybe outright hostile to the source of that power. And so I want us to kind of sit in that reminder today that the world is drawn to God's magnificent truth and beauty even when it doesn't realize it. And it is drawn to it because every person was made, was created, was designed for that truth and beauty. And so I want us to look for opportunities to this week to make that connection for people. Let's be less concerned about pointing out who does or does not currently acknowledge that connection. Let's realize that every person was made to acknowledge that connection, and let's help them make that connection for the first time. When it comes to the story we're talking about today, perhaps that's as simple this week as when you're having a conversation about the eclipse and the spectacle that was on display in the sky. Maybe just share that for you, the eclipse spoke of the glory of a God who loves you. After all, this wasn't just a miracle in the skies. No. It was a miracle that proclaims a truth, capital T. It's a miracle that proclaims a truth that lives in you. Offer that truth to those around you. Japan's Prime Minister is visiting the United States today. It's our final story of the week here on The Equipped. The Prime Minister is going to address a joint session of Congress. He's going to meet with President Joe Biden and senior U.S. officials, and he will also tour Toyota and Honda facilities in North Carolina. The alliance between the United States and Japan, it's an important one. It's a strong economic one. It did have volatile origins right after World War II, but the two countries are now seen as very strong economic and geopolitical partners. There are some disruptions in that. We've talked about this before on The Equipped. The U.S. Steel Corporation is currently in the process of being sold to the Japan-based Nippon Steel. That has caused some friction. But as we think about how we should interact with this story, I really think we should be mindful of the fact that we should be using our voice and influence to encourage common flourishing around the globe. I think we have been afforded so much, and Luke 12:48 reminds us that by being afforded so much, we have a responsibility to give much as well. And I think domestically that means encouraging our leaders to have honest self-reflection about their own political shortcomings within political tribes. And internationally, I think it means encouraging our leaders to have consistency in diplomacy, whether we're dealing with an ally like Japan or maybe an enemy, and that we should have consistency in the way we advance American ideals. But for us specifically, as Jesus followers individually, as we consider this story, I want to encourage us, no matter where on the globe we reside or how we are in proximity to a story like this, I think it's appropriate to consider these two questions. Who in my neighborhood, so who close to me, who in my neighborhood can I serve and how? And then secondly, very specifically to this story, who on the other side of the globe, who outside of my community, who on the other side of the globe can I serve and how? I love coffee. I really do. I love coffee. My pastor says that the Holy Spirit plus caffeine equals awesome. And I have to tell you, I agree with him. I might have a little bit of a problem, but I love coffee. And so this week, The Beautiful is focusing on a topic of milk and honey, but I'm going to add coffee to that. I think it's appropriately added to the conversation about milk and honey. And the image that is provided by my wife, Brooke, depicts rosemary coffee. And if you don't know what rosemary coffee is, I didn't either, but I would encourage you to go to theequippednewsletter.com and check out this image. In Exodus, God led his people to a land flowing with milk and honey. That's how it's described. It's actually described that way in Exodus and many other places in Scripture. And then in Isaiah, it is proclaimed that the whole earth is full of his glory. My takeaway from that passage and this image today is that there is goodness and sweetness all around you, and it is so often wrapped in exquisite beauty. Let's take intentional notice of that beautiful presentation, even in the things that are common in our world. Your life and your homeland also flow with milk and honey, and it flows with coffee too. Praise God. I'm Than Bennett. This is The Equipped, and we will see you next time. Thank you for listening to this conversation from The Equipped. These conversations are available because of your support. Become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And please subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any episodes, and share it with friends so together we can stay informed and be equipped to serve.